All right. So good afternoon. My name is Katrina Kubitschek, and I'll be presenting some qualitative data for the most part from the Healthy Young Men Study, which is a longitudinal study that has been ongoing in Los Angeles for the past several years. Okay. Here's my disclosures. I have really nothing to disclose to any of you in regards to financial relationships. To kind of introduce you to what I'm going to talk about today, I think we probably all are cognizant of the fact that there's really very little sexual education that's relevant for young men who have sex with men or other sexual minority youth. Most research shows that while some sex education information is provided depending upon what state you live in and what school you're in, the information that's provided typically focuses on issues like pregnancy prevention, STI prevention, and HIV prevention. However, a recent national study did show that about half of the teachers in that study report that they did not actually provide information on HIV education, which is a little disturbing given the fact that HIV rates are continuing to increase among young men who have sex with men, according to a recent CDC report. And what we have seen is that in the absence of some of these more formal places of sex education, such as schools or parents, many young men are relying on information coming from the internet, from sources like pornography or general interest sites, as well as friends, peers, and other what we'd kind of call alternative sources of information. And that can often leave gaps in their educational development. So to give you a little background on the Healthy Young Men study, as I said, it's a longitudinal study that was launched in Los Angeles. We just finished data collection this past January. It was an ethnically diverse cohort of 526 young men who have sex with men, ages 18 to 24, recruited from gay-identified venues such as clubs, coffee houses, parks, and other areas across the county. Here's a breakdown of the ethnic groups. It was stratified across three different ethnic groups. And every 6 months, young men came in and completed a 1.5 to 2 hour survey. And we did those surveys all over the county. And one thing we do like to say is that across the 2 years of data collection for the longitudinal part, we were able to retain 93% of the sample. So. And in addition to that, we also did some targeted qualitative sub-studies that focused on different topics of interest, kind of depending on what was emerging for some of the quantitative data, as well as just kind of looking through the literature about what we knew might be important with this population. And for the most part today, we'll be presenting some of the qualitative sub-studies from the sexual behavior qualitative study that we did. So the analysis was looking at questions related to sexual education. Where did you learn about sex? What did your parents teach you about sex? What was the general attitude about sexuality in your household? Where did you, some information on their first sexual experiences as well. And what kind of emerged from that is that there was a real lack of sexual education among this group. That they were relying on what we would all kind of call alternative sources of education for the most part. So this presentation is kind of focusing on three different aspects. One, looking at what they did learn in some of the formal sources. Then also looking at those alternative sources of information. And then looking at the risks that were associated with those early sexual experiences, taking into account some of their gaps in knowledge. So here's a quick table just to give you an idea about what our sample looks like as far as demographics. You'll see that the age, about 29%, were between 18 and 19 years old. So it's a fairly young sample. Mainly identified as gay, 77%. And there's information also about residence and employment, but I'm going to go into great detail.
What's DKRS?
Don't know, refuse. So what we learned from schools and providers is that the primary topics that young men reported or learning about in their sex education classes were things like related to pregnancy, prevention, HIV, STIs. But what they did say is that there was really nothing that really resonated with them. When anal sex might come up, it was usually in the context of heterosexual couples having anal sex as a means to prevent pregnancy, and they were also told that it was wrong. So nothing was really ever resonated and seemed relevant for them from what they learned from school. They also said that discussions on same-sex sexuality didn't really happen, regardless of the actual mechanics of sex. Just the idea of sexuality didn't really come up in the classrooms either. And they said the only time it really did was when some kid might ask a question, and that was usually met with a lot of laughter in the classroom. So it was very intimidating for someone to even think about asking a question that might be relevant. And here's a quote from one of our respondents. It says, if someone were to ask, it was a doomsday for them. They'd be ostracized, they'd be called names, possibly picked on, fought with. So the respondents were kind of split on whether they felt that the actual mechanics of anal sex should be presented in school. They said, well, you know, we don't really learn about the mechanics of vaginal sex either. So there were some thought it would be a good idea. Others could kind of were cognizant of some of the problems that might present for parents and other students. A couple of quotes to kind of show the two thoughts of that are, if you're not mentally ready to learn about it, about the gay world, then I think that will create problems in the long run. This is a young man who was kind of in the camp that maybe we shouldn't be presenting that. And this is a young man who also relayed his first sexual experience that happened while he was in college and said that when that sexual experience happened, he had no idea what went where or that that could even happen. And he said, if I was taught that anal sex or introduced to that in high school, then I wouldn't have been so dumb in that sense where I didn't know that that was possible. So while some of them were kind of split on whether the actual mechanics of sex should be taught, there was a general consensus that sexuality and understanding about same-sex relationships should be taught in their schools because they felt that that would really diminish some of the bullying that went down in the schools, create better understanding about different people's lives. And this is a quote. It says, I think homosexuality should be embraced as much as heterosexuality. I don't think it should be something that is frowned upon. I don't think it should be taught as something that's different, or I hate the term alternative lifestyle. The moment we sit there and tell people that homosexuality is wrong or we don't teach them about it, they begin not to understand it and they fear it, which is what leads to prejudice. It's not a lifestyle, it is who we are. So young men also spoke about what they learned from parents. And this quote up here, be safe, use a condom, kind of sums it up almost entirely. Parents pretty much talked about preventing pregnancy and how to prevent pregnancy, and oftentimes would then hand their sons condoms and say, be safe, use a condom. And that was about it. So very limited information. A number could surprisingly report that they never actually had the talk with their parents. They never really learned anything from their parents. There was a general sense of awkwardness that they felt that was coming potentially from them as well as from their parents. And this is a quote from a young man that said, she, my mother, didn't really educate me on the STDs. I learned about that through the gay scene itself. That's the thing my mother never really had to deal with because during her age, it wasn't really a big deal. So the young men seemed fairly cognizant too that their parents may not actually have some of the knowledge that to impart to them. And that was an issue coming up in some of the awkwardness of approaching this subject, regardless of whether they were out to their parents or not, just approaching the subject of sex was just not comfortable. I don't think that's unique to YMSM. But young men did kind of feel like that they might be projecting some of the awkwardness themselves. Like this man who said, I always feel a little awkward when it comes up because I know it's probably a little awkward for her, but maybe that's just me putting the awkwardness and projecting it onto her. So young men really did seem to want to be able to approach their parents about that, and a few of them did speak about their mothers in particular, sitting down with them from an early age and having a very open dialogue about sex. They felt that they could come to their mothers and tell them that they are having same-sex feelings, and they were very close to their mothers. And this young man kind of attributed his safe sex practices to his mother and to that relationship that they had developed. He says, I will not use a condom. There have been times when I hooked up with somebody and he didn't want to use one, and he kept trying to get me to penetrate without one. I said, you know what? No, I'm not willing to give my life to you. I'm not going to not use a condom. So then we look at the alternative sources, and pornography on the internet came up. Pornography was by far the most common, and it might be pornography on the internet, it might be pornography in print form or videos that they found in their parents' or friends' parents' homes. And what pornography really taught them, primarily two things. One is mechanics of sex, like what went where, basically. But the young men said, you know, there's really no information on anal sex. There's really no strong definition or strong advice about anal sex. It's usually just through word of mouth or from porn. They really didn't feel they had any other place to learn about it. So they did learn how the actual mechanics of anal sex. Some said that was the first time they'd ever actually seen two men having sex, was through pornography, photos or videos or internet. Such as Casper, who says, "I just saw this guy doing it in the butt, because that was the first time I'd actually seen a full, like, oh my God, is that what they do? Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that." So it kind of freaked some of them out, seeing some of this for the first time, because sometimes you might be seeing it at a pretty young age, and it was a little shocking to some of them. For some, seeing some particularly straight porn led them to kind of get a confirmation of their growing sexuality, because they said they were much more interested in the guy than the woman. So pornography also served that purpose. In addition to pornography, they also used the internet quite often, using Google or Yahoo and typing in terms like naked men, sex with men, because a lot of them didn't know the term gay or homosexual and what that meant. So Yahoo, internet, very common. And as this young man said, I learned on the internet because I was researching HIV, the virus, and everything, and how you can contract it. And after that, I learned from a doctor that told me only through bodily fluids and everything. So oftentimes, young men were looking at the internet, thinking they might have some kind of STD or other disease, and then they would go to the doctor and have it checked out. So the internet was by far the most common place they went to. Mainly because it was said it was unjudging and it was their preferred environment for those that might be afraid to go to the library and have people see them reading a book, or go into Borders or a bookstore and see someone reading a book. So back then, I didn't have anyone to talk to. I didn't come out to any of my friends yet, and so I guess I was kind of alone. No one was there to tell me, it's not wrong what you did. You're just feeling these feelings just the way you are. So for some, the internet was kind of a source where not only could they find information, but many could also join chat rooms and find other young men like themselves and carry on conversations. Okay, so in addition to the internet and pornography, some young men also said that they kind of learned through trial and error or through just experimentation. And this type of experimentation usually started fairly young with maybe kissing boys or looking at pornography with friends and then trying things out. But they usually said it was really awkward and weird. They didn't really know what they were doing. But what's interesting is that some have said that they'd already had a lot of sex by the time schools actually provided any kind of sex education at all. So some of this experimentation led to actually having sex, and it was occurring before high school when actual sex education was provided. In addition to some of that experimentation, the knowledge of their partners and their experience of their partners was oftentimes very important as well. What they said is that they often depended on their partners to kind of guide them through the process. Some said that their partners were more experienced, maybe older, and were able to kind of show them what to do. So what they really learned from the partners, breaking it down into two main things, was again the mechanics of sex. Their sexual positions were often determined from their first sexual partners, so they become either a bottom or a top, depending upon what their partner was. But this also led to some incomplete knowledge, because their partners were not always the best informed either. Young men reported learning about some partners saying, well, only a bottom can get an STI, so it's safe enough for us not to have sex because you're topping me. They also had some protective factors as well. Some partners are very careful, making sure they always use condoms, and they learn to use condoms to their partners. But that wasn't necessarily the case all the time. So then looking at their early sexual experience, you know, some of these gaps in knowledge contributed to some very painful and sometimes very high-risk sexual encounters. What we've learned is that a lot of them felt that these early experiences where they had very painful sexual experience, they felt that was natural. That's how it was going to be all the time, and didn't really think that they wanted to continue this lifestyle. Saying that was my first time, it was like, wow, it hurts so I didn't want to do it no more. I just wanted to change my whole life right there. I mean, because after that point, it's like, I don't want to be gay no more. It hurt that bad. Oftentimes, they were ill-equipped to advocate for themselves as well, because again, they were young and they didn't necessarily have any information to protect themselves. Such as Julio, who talked about his first sexual experience, saying, I didn't want to say, like, use a condom or whatever. I just wanted to do it. I was shy. Like, I don't know if he wants to use a condom or not. And again, a lot of them had just a lack of knowledge on safe sex practices. It was somewhat surprising to some of us, I think, to come to see that. But many of them did not know that condoms could protect them and how HIV was actually transmitted. So I didn't know someone had to have HIV. I thought it could be made by not using a condom. I didn't know you have to catch it from someone that has it. So the conclusions from this is that obviously there's very few relevant traditional sources of sexual education information for this age group. And what we've learned is that while schools may not be providing that type of information, young men are seeking that information out on themselves, but it is still many gaps in their knowledge base and leading to some very risky behaviors. So as far as implications or discussion points for interventions, I think the findings do speak to a need to maybe think about developing some family-based interventions. Young men talked about wanting to be able to communicate with their families, but felt very awkward in approaching their families. So creating some kind of interventions that would provide knowledge to the parents and maybe make communication a little bit more open in families is something that should be considered, as well as internet web-based interventions, because that's where young men are going for information. They're not going to providers, they're not going to their doctors until they're a little bit older. They're going to the internet, and providers should be meeting them at least halfway there. And then, of course, we want to advocate for new school policies that are related to school health curricula. Some schools have some things in place, but for some of those schools, they're not necessarily enforced all the time. So we want to be able to think about advocating for anti-bullying rules and also understanding about different sexualities in sex education classes as well, and enforcing those policies. So I do want to acknowledge many people that made this study possible, including our community advisory board, the young men who participated in the study, and NIDA, who provided the funding for this particular project. And my contact information is up here, as well as the principal investigator and project director. So I think there'll be time for questions afterwards. Thank you.